Okay, welcome to What Has This Become? We review stuff and ramble. My name's Will, and I'm joined by... That's when
I'm
you
Lauren.
Say your name.
Sorry. Yeah. I went into a daze.
Who needs to do intros? So, like, yeah, with this, before we start off this week, talking about animated movies, because we couldn't figure out anything else to talk about.
True.
Yeah.
And obviously, neither of us are experts, so it seemed like a good idea.
Actually, I did, like, a short minute-long video for the Dwayne Twain, and there's, like, some solid animation in that.
It's true. It's I used to do bad animation on Miniclip, if anyone remembers Miniclip. I don't remember what... I think it... Was it called Sketchstar? I don't remember. But I made an animation with gingerbread men, and one of them got brutally murdered. I don't remember the other animations I did, but I definitely did one of those, and I kind of wish that that website was still going, so I could look back and be like, what the fuck?
Oh, I didn't realize that. I've never...
It was like stop motion.
It seems like a lot of work, though.
Yeah. I mean, just getting the gingerbread man to wave was just like... Mm-hmm. Painful.
Yeah, God. If there's because the people that do, like, which is quite a popular series on YouTube, is like VFX artists react to black, like good, great and bad VFX. And they recently did like a one where it is and they got an animated guest, which is funny because they do like a stuntman react, and it's like they don't really know about stunt people. But like they just get a stunt person in because like they have some connections, and then they just get them to talk about their like craft, and it's this dude that was like, I think he worked on a few, like I think he draws for The Simpsons now because they still like use like they use drawing rather than like CGI. But that was quite interesting. Yeah. So let's plug that in for some reason.
Yes.
But yeah, Lauren, what's some memorable animated movies for you? There's obviously How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes, that was one that I really like. I'm just like thinking back to ones that I liked as a kid that still hold up to me. Up is one of them.
I really liked
Up. I can't believe that that came out in 2009. Like that makes me feel weird.
I remember going to the cinema
and
seeing that.
Yeah. Obviously, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse also. Very good. Enjoy that shit.
That's really cool how they did something.
Everything they did is so clever in that movie.
They did like stuff like, wasn't it like is it Miles Morales?
Yes.
Like he like had half the like frames of like the other Spider-Man because he's still learning.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And just everything. The music. Also very clever.
It's
just
true.
A lot of it.
A lot.
Just cool as heck. What else did I select? I'm trying not to like, because the thing is, like, when I was younger, I didn't watch, like, I literally, the extent of my, like, animated movie watching was, like, you know, everything in the mainstream. So it's like Disney, Pixar, DreamWorks. Like, obviously, my parents weren't interested in any of it, so I didn't like watch any like Studio Ghibli movies as a kid because my parents didn't know they existed. I wish I had, because I feel like I would have really enjoyed them, but like I don't think they have the same impact as an adult, at least not like My Neighbor Totoro. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I just kind of sat there like, this is weird. I had a moment where I just like, oh, the mother's ill, and then, oh, the father didn't come home. She's probably dead. I was waiting for, like, the up moment of, oh, this is so sad, but there wasn't one. So I spent the whole movie being like, shit, when are they going to drop that on us? And they didn't. So I, like, you know, unnecessarily stressed myself out.
It's true.
But, like, I really liked Kiki's Delivery Service, but I haven't watched any of the others. I'd really like to watch Howl's Moving Castle.
But
we all had plans to do a Ghibli day, but then it didn't happen because pandemic.
That's true.
So I've not deliberately not watched the films so that I don't ruin it for myself.
Like I've seen a few now. When I say a few, I haven't actually watched as many as like I intended to. Like I watched Howl's Moving Castle. I was a bit disappointed. It was not like it wasn't good. Like, it was very good. I think I'd give it, like, an 8 out of 10. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I guess I'm just a bit cynical. It's like, I think it's one of the reasons I didn't enjoy Princess and the Frog as much. Because it's just, like, they fall in love immediately. It's like, fuck off.
Well, they don't in Princess and the Frog.
They do, basically. Like, they're going to get married, like, knowing each other for, like, 3 days.
Yeah, it's better than, like, you know, earlier Disney movies where it was literally, like, love at first sight. Like, at least they got to know each other and they didn't like each other first and, like,
yeah, but,
you know,
like,
all that stuff.
A kid will be fine, but, like, I guess I'm just too cynical. Like, but it's just, like, I don't know, Howl's Moving Castle, it was, like, really impressive, but, like, it's just followed the flight, and it's like, this guy's a bit of a douche, why?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things where I'm like, huh. Like, I want to read the book.
Yeah.
Real bad. I might do that. I might allow myself to watch... I nearly said watch the book. That's not right. To read the book before we watch the movie. Just cause.
Yeah. I heard the book is very different now.
Yes.
Because, like, I think the movie's, like, more about, like, how bad war is and how bad... Well, like, that's such a vague thing to say. But, like, you know, like... It explores, like, the horrors, like, you know, war being terrible and, like, other elements. But whilst, like, I think the book doesn't emphasise much of that. It's about, like, I think it's more, like, regarding feminism. Which is strange how it changed, but, yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of classic Pixar movies, isn't there?
That's true. The Incredibles was, like, one of my favourites as a kid. Mm-hmm. Still very good.
It's an absolute classic.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sold on the second one so much. I went to see it in the cinema in, like, 3D, and then that was the film where I realised I can't watch movies in 3D anymore because my eyes are too bad. Maybe that impacted my experience because I was sat there the whole time being like, for fuck's sake, I just want to watch the movie. But, like, I think Disney's fallen into this writing trap of, like, having to have a twist villain in, like, every movie, because apparently just having a normal villain is, like, too cliche at this point. So, like, they did it in Frozen, where they were like, oh, we'll just make this random guy suddenly turn out to actually be evil the whole time. But it wasn't even, like, good, because it wasn't even, there was no, it was literally just, like, out of the blue. They didn't really set it up well.
I think there's some
questions. And then, like, they did the same thing in this, but it was obvious. You were like, yeah, she's going to be a villain for some fucking reason. Like, she's, you know, a queer-coded villain. Like, yeah, of course she's going to be a villain. Like, great, cool. So I was a little bit like, it was cool. But, like, I was a little sad that they did that, because I feel like sometimes you can just have a villain. Like, Syndrome was a very good villain. Like, he was a twist villain. But, like, you know... Not out of nowhere. It was kind of, you know, you literally saw his villain origin story of being rejected by his hero. It wasn't just like, oh, some random kid that, like, you met once is now, like, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? They probably, like, he was in it for it. Yeah. Like, noticeably. Rather than just being like, oh, she's the totally normal sister of this guy. And then, oh, no, she's not. Ta-da. Villain. I'm like, ah. I don't know, I'm a little salty. We waited so long for that movie.
Yeah, I don't think... I think it's one of those things I've seen The Incredibles quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's that incredible. I just think it's okay. I think it's like, they did it on like a which is surprising, because like, they did a twist on the superhero genre. Which is like, before the superhero genre really got started.
Yeah.
This is quite strange.
And it wasn't even, like, straight up superheroes. It was like, well, we had superheroes for, like, 10 minutes, and now they're banned. Like, uh-oh. Oh, can you imagine being the guy who got superheroes outlawed? Like, that's basically who he was. He got all of, like, he basically started... The idea that, oh, you can sue a superhero for saving you badly, and then that was it. Like, they were like, well, no more superheroes. Like, good job, thanks, Bob. I'm sure everyone fucking loves you. Like, holy shit.
Mm.
That's got to be the worst. No, I just, I liked it because, yeah, I watched it when I was a kid. Yeah. I watched it a lot. And I really like the soundtrack. I think it's cool.
So, there's a bunch of kinds of animated films. There's, like, hand-drawn.
Yes.
There's, like, the CGI ones. Mm-hmm. And then there's the stop-motion ones. Stop-motion ones, yes. Like, Wallace and Gromit.
Scary. Stop-motion is just... There's just always this weird uncanniness to it.
Mm.
And normally it's not on purpose. But when it is on purpose, like, mm-hmm. you know, like Tim Burton films and, like, Coraline and stuff, it works really well. But then, like, Wallace and Gromit just creeps me out for no reason. It's not supposed to be scary, but hey, look at that shit.
I quite liked, I've seen one of the suit on this list, because I've looked at the top 100.
Oh, yes.
We're both on the same top 100 animated movies on Rotten Tomatoes. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it number 19?
It's a so that's an that's why, like, I think it's the same director as that film Bumblebee. You know that film. It's never mentioned.
That film Bumblebee.
Yeah, we're never like told about it by Alice so often.
We never were forced to sit down and watch it as a group by one of our other friends. No, never.
Oh, and that's another one I really like is Isle of Dogs, which was Wes Anderson. Because Wes Anderson, he's done like a couple of films in stop motion now. So he decided to like after the like I think he did the Grand Budapest Hotel. I was like, I'm just gonna do stop motion for a little bit.
I've actually never heard of this film.
It's a when really. Did it come out? It's a 2018, I think.
Wow.
It's a nice film. It was quite underlooked, I think. I don't think it did particularly great in the box office. But he also did, like, Fantastic Mr. Fox as well.
Yeah.
Which was alright.
I don't know how I feel about that one. I read the book, like, so long ago.
I don't think it's anything like
but
the book.
But then, yeah, it's nothing like the book. So then I was sat there for the whole movie being like, did I just remember the book wrong? Or, like, have they just, like, done away with half of it and just done whatever they wanted? So I was a bit like, this is all wrong. Just wrong. How it was when I was a kid.
I don't
fucked it up, it even though it was probably fine. Like, to know. It just felt like I was being gaslighted by a film about a fox.
Shaun the Sheep. Apparently Shaun the Sheep movies have, like, received...
Why is that a number 20 fucking one? Like,
it's got 99%.
Why is Ralph Breaks the Internet number 53 and then Wreck-It Ralph is, like, fucking 96? Are you joking? Ralph Breaks the Internet was the worst thing I've ever heard of. I didn't watch it because I was so disgusted.
You were so disgusted.
I'm not even kidding. I watched a video essay about it, and I literally was like, "No, what have they done? They made the relationship so, like, you know, the cool relationship of Vanellope and Ralph, which is just like chill." And it was a little bit like a I can't even call him a cool uncle, like a weird uncle and, like, niece relationship.
Yeah,
or like just friends. Like, they were just friends, and then they made it into a weird thing. It was like an adult man, like, who was weirdly attached to a little girl and, like, follows her around all the time and won't let her have other friends and is, like, creepy. I was like, why have you done this? And then also they added loads of internet shit in it because they wanted to fucking make money. And it was awful. Oh,
classic. I heard a lot of mixed feelings about it. I heard it was
the cyberbullying bit was like, you know, when you go shown like anti-cyberbullying like things at school, and like the text on the phone is like, you smell like a stale cake, and then an angry face, or like, haha, you suck, like, and that's it. And it's like, that's not cyberbullying, you fucking idiot. Disney. Have you ever used the internet? Have you ever been on the internet?
Moana was a thing. I'm told about Moana, like, almost every week, because I'm on the Dwayne train. Joel's like...
What are we doing, Moana?
Joel's like, I look forward to Moana. It's like, it's 25 films away.
We have so much time
I know.
To wait.
I did actually... It was 2016, wasn't it? It came up. And I was like, I heard a lot about Moana, and, like, I just remember, like, Because I used to listen to a podcast, which was, and like one of them with Dan is like, we've just had Moana on non-stop all day, and
nice.
It's just ridiculous. But yeah, that was quite good. I was really surprised by it. Even though people told me it was good. It's good.
I mean, I kind of had my eye on it like quite early on because they brought on Lin-Manuel Miranda, and like obviously I was a big Hamilton fan at the time. I still like Hamilton. I just it has some issues, but I like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think he's very cool and he's very good at what he does. So I was like, oh, I'm interested to see what he comes up with, and it was good shit. But like you could tell it was him because like. The little Maui, like, rap bit was, like, I used to get the lyrics from that confused with the ones from a Hamilton song because, like, very similar kind of rhythm. It's very good, though. I enjoy it. The water animation, like, the amount of GIFs I saw of that shit on Tumblr because people were fucking obsessed with Baby Moana and the waves, like... I mean, yeah, it did look fucking good, though.
There's no reason I was convinced. I think I just mistakenly, you know, Hailee Steinfeld?
Yes.
I thought she was voicing the main actress. So I was, so, for the main character, I just thought someone had told me, and, like, I just was stuck in my head, and then, like, I looked
it
up.
That's interesting.
Several, like, weeks later, like, that wasn't Hailee Steinfeld. I was just so convinced. It's like if someone told you, like, because you obviously don't see their face. It's just someone told you, like, wait, it's not them. But I did watch Coco, which came out in 2017.
I really want to watch it, but, like, I know I'm just going to cry like a baby, so.
I saw, like, a glimpse of the trailer, and I thought the trailer made it look really bad. And I think a lot of people didn't see it, because I don't think it was really well marketed. And then I watched it, like, this is a fantastic movie. It was, like, one of the best movies of the year. And, like, not many people knew about it.
We watched, the only bits I've seen of it were, I was doing floristry, and we did, like, you know, multicultural stuff, because obviously a lot of different cultures use flowers and things, and you need to know what kind of flowers you use. So we watched bits of Coco because they were very thorough in the, like, research and stuff. But, like, she put random clips on YouTube from the film, and it was, like, all the saddest clips. It was like, oh, here's how that guy murdered the other guy and stole his fucking shit. And, oh, here's the end where the fucking grandma, like, he sings to her, and I was like, fuck you, this is... I was, like, trying not to cry in class. I'm like, why didn't you just pick the beginning or some shit? Like, come on, man. Like, holy shit. But I'm still like, yeah, I really want to watch it. It looks very good.
That is funny.
But I was just like, what the fuck? And everyone else just seemed to be, like seeing no problem with it. And I was just that, like, fucking hell.
It was incredibly sad. But, well,
yeah.
So nice.
I watched a video essay on that shit as well. I cried. I've been watching a lot of video essays.
You should watch the things before
you
watch
them. Oh, I do. No. Because I want to, like, I like to know about all the little things that I would miss just watching it normally. So, like, I watch it and find out all these little things, and then I'm like, cool, now show me the thing itself, and I'll know all the things.
The thing is, though, I find that you look up, like, reviews of stuff, and you go in, and then, like, suddenly you got a sudden expectation of the movie. So if someone, said it's shit, you watch and you're like, and you might think it's terrible. But if you didn't watch the review, see that review, you might thought it was pretty good.
If I didn't watch the movie, I might be like, thank God. I get what you mean. But, I mean, that happens with so many things terms of media. Like, reading the book before watching the movie or the other way around can make you not like the thing you watch second or like all that kind of stuff.
I think the best way to watch things is just going blind.
Read the book and watch the movie, you get like double the content. Or actually the book probably has way more content than the movie, so you get a lot more.
If you're going to read the book, you should read it after.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because you get like a certain... I think you get so, like, expect... Well, like, you're like, they do it this way. And then you just, you think, you compare it to the book, but, like, the movie did its own thing.
Yeah. True, but there's, like, certain exceptions. Like, I feel like if I'd watched The Haunting of Hill House and then read the book, I would have disliked the book even more. Because nothing happens. Like, I would have had such high expectations because of the amount of stuff that happens in the show. Uh-huh. And then the book, like, is just, there's no substance.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, so I'm glad I did that the way around that I did. But, like, yeah, I probably agree with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, because I, like I read, Android, wait, do androids dream of Android Sheep? And, like, I read that before, like...
Is it Electric Sheep?
I don't fucking know. But, yeah, I read that before I watched Blade Runner.
And it is Electric Sheep.
Yeah.
For future reference, and sorry.
I thought Blade Runner was, like, it's just meh. I thought it was, like, nothing compared to, like, the book. But then I watched, like, you know, I watched Blade Runner 2049. I thought that was great. And people say, like, the original Blade Runner film, there's several different versions, but, like, they say it's great. But, like, I didn't think that after reading the book.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Like, I watched the Percy Jackson movie before I read the books, because I didn't know the books were a thing. And then I was like, wow, there's loads of books I could read. So I immediately bought the book and read it while I was on holiday, and then was like, God, that film was wank. Didn't stop me from going to see the second film like 3 times in the cinema, because different groups of friends wanted to go and I couldn't say no. And also, they played a Fall Out Boy song in the first scene, so like, of course, that, you know, that drew me in. But like, yeah, can't wait for that TV show to come out and hopefully be faithful to the books and, like, not hire, like, 21-year-olds to play, like, 12-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And then have to change everything because they realise they fucked up.
I've just realised I've watched several Studio Ghibli things, and mostly I found them really good. But I watched that Arrietty?
Arrietty?
Yeah, and I thought it was... Yes. I thought, wow, this kid's such a con. You just, like, fucked up these guys' lives because you're, like, a nosy little bastard.
Oh, man.
God, yeah.
You little shit.
You shit face. Final notes on animated movies. I mean, you've just completely rambled, but that's fine.
I don't think I have any... No. My tastes are varied, and I'm very opinionated sometimes.
You like the music ones?
And
the ones where they do, you know,
I like all the music. I like music from things.
I like the music.
And I still disagree with Joe. I still think How to Train a Dragon is a very good movie. And the books don't matter. He's not here to argue with me, so...
Yeah, fuck you.
I can just say it. Joe, if you ever listen to this, I'm sorry.
I said sorry, not sorry.
I mean, I'm a little sorry.
You can't let's be sorry for enjoying a movie.
Anyway, that's it from me. See you. I'm off.
What?
You can fill the rest of the time, right?
What? Huh? God, how many of these figures got, like... How has got... Finding Dory's got 94%. I haven't even watched Finding Dory.
Nah, apparently it's... Well, according to this, apparently it's good, but apparently I've heard amazing from people it's wank.
God.
Oh, fucking wow. Chicken Run, number 29. Fuck off. That shit, that was... I know I watched it as a kid. I don't fucking remember any of it apart from being like, what the fuck? Who's this fucking Griffin McElroy chicken twink?
Is that what he's like? I don't know what you're going to fucking 29. He's like, is that too low or is that too high? I don't know what she's going to say.
No, it should be not on this list. Classic. Anyway, that's the end of it for me. Oh, God. Please don't use that soundbite for anything.
Fucking shit, <true.
laughs> What if Griffin McElroy hears? He won't, but... Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm done now. I've just... I slightly cheeked everyone. I've done what I wanted to achieve.
Oh, no.
Oh, I watched also one last thing, because I watched I Lost My Body, which is about this, like, this guy, this French dude, because it's based in France. It's French. It's French. It's French.
French.
I believe it's French. And he's lost his hand, and, like, and it's, like, it's like a hand trying to return to the body. And it's like it's a weird film. I think it was alright, but like, it's one of those ones you like makes you uncomfortable because like, the hand's in the subway and then like rats try to get it. It's like oh no, I don't like it.
No thank.
No thank you. Stop please. That's animated movies. And what else have we got? The experts.
Yes.
We always fact check. Not.
Not. Don't give a shit.
So anyhow, shall we do some reviews?
Yes. Let's do the actual podcast
thing. Let's do the actual podcast thing. So today, whichever day you listen to this, I'm going to be talking about, because I had the chance recently. Well, not I had the chance, I just bothered to do it. I watched a few movies. And it's like a few of the movies that I wanted to see, because last year I kept up with all the movies. All the movies. I watched all the movies produced in 2019.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's like a list of ones I wanted to see, because they were like, almost like the highly rated ones. Not highly rated, the well regarded ones. Yes. The ones you could not run smart school.
Good ones.
The good ones. But they were like, because they were the ones that like, were like coming out of film festivals and like, people were like, oh, look at this.
Just like that.
Exactly. But yeah, the film I'm going to be talking about is Hustlers. Not The Hustle, not that wank ass shit.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it. I just know it looks awful.
I have seen half of it because I was eating my dinner while my family was watching it, and I was like, "What the fuck?" God.
And that's another thing. That's like, because Alice loves this movie, but Alice, I think it's wank.
Painful.
Hashtag sorry not sorry. But
it's just is this episode just gonna be us telling people that we know that we don't like the things they like, or the other way around? Well, they can't defend themselves or argue back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not attacking them, so I don't know why I said defend themselves.
Well, they can if we wanted them.
We could.
But yeah, I watched Hustlers that came out last year, and one of the things that people took away, because it, obviously, you know, the Oscars of 2020, they were saying that Jennifer Lopez missed out on an Oscar nomination. That's right. Like, if you look up biggest Oscar snubs of 2020, Jennifer Lopez will be at the top, because like, I think Jennifer Lopez is a bit of a mixed bag of her career, or like in acting, because I don't think I can't actually name any films that she's done.
No, me neither.
But in this, she's great, and like, people were probably right about the Oscar stuff. But this film, I thought it was very interesting because I think it's got quite a polarized response, because like, critically it was really well received, audience was kind of lukewarm.
Yeah.
It's based on this New York... Is it New York Times? I have no idea. I just made it up. Yeah, it's New York Magazine's article, Hustlers That Score. And it's ultimately, it's a film about some ex-strippers that just drug some, like, semi-rich dudes for money. And that's, like, that's not a nice crime. that's bad stuff. But what I thought was really good about this movie was, like, the kind of relationship they made out of the main two characters, which was Constance Wu from, if you probably know from Crazy Rich Asians, and Jennifer Lopez, which Constance Wu was called Destiny, and Jennifer Lopez was called Ramona's. Well, that's their characters.
Yes.
And it...
No, they legally changed their names.
They legally changed their names for this film. They were so dedicated.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it was really good. And basically to summarise what the film's about. So it starts off like Destiny Well, she moves to a new strip club, which is the one that Ramona is working at. She's been working at for ages, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like she doesn't really know how to do it. Like she wants to support herself, like, and the grandma. And she goes under like the wing of Jennifer Lopez's character Ramona. And like to be a better performer, and it's about how like the real money of these places are made from like the Wall Street dudes,
yeah,
who are like willing to go there and like they won't leave until like they spend like $15,000 in one night, and like ridiculous amounts, and like,
okay,
and it kind of like explores that for the first bit of the movie, and showing like this like you know this toxic masculinity, and like it's such a strange environment, a strip club. But, like, it shows, like, they're wanting to, like, support, because, like, Ramona wants to support a kid and just wants her to get, some, like, you know, do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Give her the opportunities that she probably didn't have, like, you know, Ramona didn't have. Mm. And then Destiny wants to, like, support her grandma, because, like, her grandma raised her. But then, like, the Wall Street crashed in 2008. Mm. And then, obviously, the clientele are not willing to like spend all that money now because the economy.
Yeah.
Aye. Yes. It's very flashy as well. Lots of. I don't know if there's any actually tits out. there's a lot of stripped up. That's the thing. When you watch any interviews for this, they're like, oh. The dancer was to be really difficult. And they don't have to talk about, like, any of, like, the act or anything. Just like, oh, yeah, I just have to learn to do pole dancing. It's like, are you going to talk about anything else? it follows Destiny, and she's, like, forced to, like, out of this independence that she really loved. And she's, like, raising a kid. And, like, she's got, like, a boyfriend. And then she's not interested in having this boyfriend because she hates this, like, dependence on him. And then she wants, like, to deport grandmother as well. And then she's, reunited with Ramona after some time. And, like, the kind of climate, like, it shows, like, the change of climate within, like, the strip club of, like, the kind of clientele. Because obviously you got those, like, Wall Street dudes and, like, there's just not, well, there's not, like, many people as willing to spend as much money. And there's, like, they're saying at this club, like, that you have the two things that you don't really want to do. But then she finds Ramona again, and they kind of call the hustle, which is just the drug people, and then they get them to spend so much money at the strip club, and they take, a chunk of the profit.
Yeah.
But then, it's not, like, I think one of the ultimate flaws of this movie is how it is marketed to be, like, an Ocean's 11. Ocean's 11, okay.
Yes.
Just an Ocean's film.
Because
There's no, like, big heist. Because it's ultimately just, like, it's just a hustle of, like, it's, like, a shitty hustle. Because you're just struggling someone to take the money and, like, off the credit card. And they're, like, they're kind of saying that, like, they're doing it to, guys are, like, well, obviously, like, they could just lose so much money and they still don't really care.
Mm.
And, like, the kind of thing is, like, they're not going to go to the police and say, oh, I've lost $5,000 at a strip club. Because they're going to be like, wow, well, you dumb. You stupid person.
Like, you fucking idiot.
But ultimately, like, they get carried away. And it's just about greed rather than the supporting. The grandma and, you know, the daughter. Because, like, when they go, like, oh, yeah, I maxed out the credit cards and stuff, which is more than what they were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of, like, the relationship this forms of, like, we've seen lots of, like, this cool theme of, like, the dadding. We've seen it in so many yes. forms of media, like, you know, The Last of Us, God of War, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of another one on top. Well, there's, like, even Marvel. They did the dadding a bit.
Yeah.
you know, it's a good thing. But then you see, like, this mother, like, mother-daughter kind of relationship form from Destiny and Ramona. And I think it's not until, like, a lot of the later part of the film you see, like, this, like, the emotional depth of the film where it's, like... I mean, I like that it come, like... It commentates on, like, the ridiculousness of this, like... This money... This, like, you know, this... Like, how people just, like... This money system. I mean, it's not even... It's just, like, about strippers. It's about, like... There's a really good line at the end. This is something, like... The whole country is, like, a strip club. It's, like... And people just throw... And people having to dance. It's, like... And it really works really well to the, like... The themes it has. Yeah. And, like... Because I think the writer-director, Laureen Scafaria, I should have looked it up beforehand. She said, like, the relationship Destiny and, like, Ramona, they had, she didn't get to meet them beforehand, but they had, like, quite, they said it was, like, a business relationship, but, like, she read this article and then took it to another thing of, like, gave it emotional depth. And it was, like, this is really, like, at the end scene, it's a really good scene with the newspaper, because it shows the writer of the news article. And she's, like, interviewing Jennifer Lopez's character, Ramona. I love how inconsistent I am with, like, saying. I think I always do this. Is that bad? Okay. Because it turns out, like, Destiny was... like, abandoned as a child, that her daughter, like, her mother just dropped her off at her grandma's and never went back. And kind of this loneliness that was, like, shown at the beginning of the film, when she didn't know how to, like, make friends, but ultimately, you know, she wanted this independence and she wanted to be able to support her grandmother, but ultimately she just wants some friends. And Ramona was able to give her, like, that friendship and that, like, kind of, like, mother role that she always wanted. And, like, I think Jennifer Lopez gives this great performance of, like, showing how much she cares. Despite, you know, like, you've seen her do these shitty things to all these people, and it's, like, it shows, like, a character, they, like, I mean, what they do is, like, shit. Which is, like, there's a human side to these people. Even though, you know. And, like, they kind of, like, it's not, like, I mean, they do it kind of in a way, but they, like, you know, these people, like, the people who were ripping off, they're the ones who, like, broke the economy and none of them went to jail.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like, what they were saying, because they didn't get caught for so long, because no one was like, oh, it's only, like, 15,000, I'll just be fine. But, yeah, I was, like, I thought it was a great, like, motherhood relationship they did, and I think it's an underrated film. I do think it is. I was very happy with it. And, yeah, I do think she was snubbed, Jennifer Lopez, because she did a great performance. And it was just, and then I thought it was interesting to comment on just the complete absurdity of, like, such a money-based system.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Fucking hate capitalism.
Capitalism, like... I'm alright. And it's just like, this is like, strip clubs is like, almost like peak capitalism, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. In a way. I don't know. I'm not qualified to talk about this. I'll just say yeah.
Yeah, sure. We'll just say
sure,
yeah.
Sure, yeah. All right. That sounds deep.
But yeah. I think both concerts were and Jennifer Lopez are great. And I think it's I think it's an interesting film. It's not even that long. I think it's only like an hour and 40. But I think there's like... a mistake of thinking like this is a great like heist film, because if you go into it expecting like a heist, it's not heist. Mm. It's just like, well, it's just like a hustle on this, the relationship between these two women, which is really interesting. But yeah, I'll give it like 8 out of 10 nipple tassels.
Nice. It's an even number of nipple tassels. That's
it's good. Yeah. You don't want an awesome number.
No.
Unless you got like a third nipple.
Or like just one boob.
Oh yeah, that's true. But yeah. What are you talking about? Wait, what's your name? Lauren?
Edit that out.
Get rid of that.
Get rid of it.
Disgusting.
I am talking about Graveyard Keeper, which is a game that I've been playing. So, Graveyard Keeper, I think it came out in alpha in, like, 2018, but I didn't pick it up until, I think, like, last year? Probably this time last year, actually. So, it's, like, on every console now, which is cool, but I mean, like, everything seems to be on Switch now anyway, so, like, yeah. But it was made by a... Yeah, fucking Dead by Daylight. It was made by Lazy Bear Games.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a simulation slash role playing game that is surprisingly graveyard themed.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it says it anywhere or anything. But yeah, I played this on Twitch for a bit one time when I didn't want to play a game where I had to think too much, which was probably a mistake actually. But when new people came into the stream and were like, hey, what is this game? I was like just describing it as Stardew Valley but with corpses, because I mean, that's not really as accurate as I thought it was, but it was a quick way to get the idea across. Like, a lot of people have heard of Stardew Valley. If you haven't, you should look that shit up, because it's really good. Maybe I'll review that one day.
I played
significantly more time in Stardew Valley than this game. But I've had Stardew Valley for a lot longer, I think. But I can see myself sinking even more hours into this one. So it is similar to Stardew Valley in that it has crafting, it has farming, combat, resource gathering, like fishing, all those kind of things. But there are a few like really big differences between it. Graveyard Keeper has like an actual proper storyline to it, but also like less personalization. So Stardew Valley, you get to like make your character and name them, you get to name your farm, you get to like, you know, make friends with the NPCs and then like choose who to marry and all this stuff. This game doesn't have those like Harvest Moon Stardew Valley things in it. Instead, it has like a, yeah, like a set character that you play it as, who I don't remember if he's named, but I don't remember his name. But basically, it like starts with you being, you're just a guy from the modern era who gets like hit by a car, and then when you wake up, you're in fantasy medieval times, and you're like, you know,
makes sense.
Someone's like, oh yeah, you must be the new graveyard keeper then, and you're like, oh, what the fuck.
Isn't that when it's in Stardew Valley and you just get killed? I mean, like,
Yeah. Yeah, you're the guy from Stardew Valley, and then you get hit by a car and you wake up in Graveyard Keeper. and you're like, oh, not this shit again.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so like you are now the new Graveyard Keeper, and you like start off with your task is to fix up the like really run-down graveyard and the church, because apparently being a Graveyard Keeper also makes you a priest. So now you're also, you have to run the church single-handedly. So yeah, you start off doing those things. Like, you have very like obvious objectives, which I like. I like to be not told what to do, but like have direction, if that makes sense. But like, yeah, you start off doing that, and then you get sidetracked by like the extreme amount of crafting required to make anything in this game. Like, I was not expecting it, because yeah, I'd gone from playing Stardew Valley where like you don't really have to craft that much stuff. Like, a lot of the stuff you just like buy or find. You don't really have to like do a lot of crafting. Like, you know, you go and like you gather materials, but you just hand them off to the carpenter and she builds like the buildings for you and all this stuff. And it's quite simple. In this game, it's just, I think I wrote in my original notes, this game has more layers than a fucking ogre, which is, yeah. There's just, like, you think it's going to be a real chill thing and you can just, like, yeah, run around doing whatever you want, like in Stardew Valley, but it's like, yeah, there's a lot of focus on making things. So I just felt like when I'm playing it, I'm like constantly trying to produce materials like as quickly as I can so I can actually make progress, but there's so many different things you have to craft just to make one like new piece of equipment. But then when you get that new piece of equipment, there's like 10 more steps to making like another thing to make another thing, and it's just it's very like complicated, really. I just was not expecting such an in-depth crafting system. But yeah, so there's that kind of side of things. And then it does have, like, NPCs you can interact with in this town. But it's kind of, it's weird, because you're, like, very much an outsider in this world, obviously, because you've just magically teleported in, and everything's weird. But, like, I don't know, like, one of the first things that you, like, see when you leave the town is this guy burns a woman at the stake for being a witch, and it's kind of fucked up because you can like you can make friends with this dude afterwards. You can be like, yeah man, I'll help you burn witches, let me gather some wood. It's really awful.
Would you really want to be friends with
him? It's kind of messed up. Like, you can either do stuff for him for money or you can do stuff for him for friendship, and I'm like, I don't really like the High Inquisitor, thank you. I'd rather not. Like, I'm sure he would burn me at the stake for being a magical modern man. So, like, I don't really want to get involved with this guy, but you kind of have to for the story. But yeah, the friendship mechanic just consists of you doing, like, you just do favors for people, and then they do you a favor once you've done, like, once you've gotten to, like, a certain level of friendship, which is just literally a smiley face meter. So it's not the same as other farming simulation games where, like, yeah, you can actually befriend people and you get, like, bonus cutscenes and, like, dialogue and then you get to, like, marry them or whatever. There's none of that stuff. It's very, like, not clinical, but, like, quite separate. I don't know, like, talking to NPCs, it very much feels like you're in a game because, you can literally just see the meter above their head and you're like, oh, I'm not friends with you yet. But yeah, you have a lot of jobs in this game. Because a lot of simulations. Yeah, so you're a graveyard keeper, you're a priest, you're also like a mortician. You also do alchemy. You can run like a trading thing with the merchant. You can run a tavern if you buy the DLC. And then you can also make zombies and have like a zombie workforce, which is a newer thing. That is also DLC, but it was free DLC, so everybody got it. And it did really, well, I say it streamlined it. Like, it was quite hard to make zombies. You get like the first one or two like for free. And then after that, you have to work out how to make it using, like, alchemy. So I had a couple of zombies doing stuff for me. So it's, like, an automated system so that you could, like, set them to work mining, or you could set them to work doing the gardening or ferrying things from place to place, because it's got quite a big map, which I didn't expect either. And time moves very quickly, like it does in many of these games. So a lot of your time is spent walking backwards and forwards from places and ferrying materials and breaking materials down into their smaller bits and then using the bits to make other things.
Is there like a stamina bar?
There is, but it's luckily not. I'm sick of saying Stardew Valley, but it's the only thing I have to really compare it to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in Stardew Valley where, like, you exhaust yourself and then you can't do anything else. You have to go to bed and then you wake up with like half stamina or something. It's nothing like that. There's like no consequences for using up all your stamina. You can stay awake for days if you like. It's just you can't do certain things once you've run out, but you can eat food. There's like cooking as well. I totally forgot about cooking. Apparently not a lot of people do that, because I got some achievements for it that like not many people on Steam had, and I was quite surprised, because like that's one of the main things that I spend time on, is like making things to eat so that I can do much more. And it's just, yeah, you do so many things, but you never feel like you kind of are able to do all the things that you needed to do in a certain time frame. because the NPCs have schedules, and they, like, certain NPCs only show up on certain days of the week, so then you have to be, like, in the right place at the right time to fulfill quests, or ask them for things, or sell them things, or buy things from them. So it, like, you do kind of find yourself constantly looking at the calendar in the corner and, like, trying to desperately get certain things done before someone arrives, because you don't want to have to wait another in-game week to be able to do that. And stuff like that. It's a lot of time management, which is, yeah. It's not the most relaxing of games. but I do enjoy it. I do really enjoy it. Yeah, all of these things I very much like. And I like the point upgrade systems. Like, you know, normally in games you get, like, levels in stuff. So, like, you'd get levels in farming in Stardew Valley for harvesting crops and watering crops and all this stuff. In this game, you don't, like, get straight up levels for things. You get points, so there's three different colors of points, which is like blue, red, and green, and you get them for doing different things. So you'll get green points from, like, harvesting plants, or, like, you know, materials from the ground, like like sticks from things, all that kind of stuff you get green points from, and then you get, like, red points from building things, so like making,
like red, like
bricks. Yes. Yeah, from, like, just, like, yeah, building things to make other things and all that stuff I was talking about. And then you get blue for doing, like, spiritual things to do with the church, and, like you can, like, write books. Yes.
I'm red, like, right.
from doing a spirit. Leaf, yeah.
from like a stick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. So, yeah, that's the point system. And then you, like, basically save up all those three different types of points, and you have skill trees where you spend combinations of the points. So, like, it might only ask for red ones at some point, but then it might ask you for red and green as, like, you go up, or, like, blue and red and all this stuff. And it's, like, I like how that works, because it encourages you to do a variety of things rather than just doing one thing really well. You kind of have to be jack of all trades to do it. Which is nice, because, like, in Stardew Valley, I never used to fish. I didn't like fishing. So, like, my fishing score was always shite, but my mining and foraging were, like, really high, because that was all I did. But in this game, yeah, you tend to go around and do lots of things, because you'll be like, well, I really want this one perk, like, this permanent buff, but I can't get it unless I go and do some stuff in the graveyard, so I'll do that today. And it's
Why
just,
lots of
I
games
like that.
Feature so much prominent fishing? Like,
I don't know, people are like fishing. Like, Final Fantasy 15, you can go fucking fishing.
Why is that a demand? Like,
people like fishing.
You have to spend a lot of money to develop someone for, like, your team to develop fishing. It's like, you could have done, like, I don't know, anything else.
You could have gone outside and gone fishing for real.
Yeah, you could just, I don't know, take drugs.
You should just,
go fishing.
Like. Christ. They should just put a sign in it in games. Like, you know, where you see, like, a sign near water that means you can go fishing, but then when you go up to it, it just says, like, fucking go outside.
Just go outside.
Oof. Yes. There are a few things that I'm not a fan of so far.
Is it the fishing?
So, like, actually. The fishing, it's not very responsive. It's kind of weird. That wasn't written in my notes, but yeah, I'm not a fan. So I've played 56 hours of this game.
It's quite a lot.
Nowhere near as many as Stardew Valley. I think I've played, like, at least 200 in that. I could check, actually. Yeah, 224. The first thing I don't like is, yeah, how complicated it is to make a thing. There's, like, five steps to building or crafting anything, so it makes it a bit of a slog to progress. If you have to, because you'll get halfway through making something and be like, shit, I haven't got the thing that I need to make that thing. So you have to then go and gather resources for a bit and then come back and try again. And it's also really easy to lose track of what you were doing the last time you played the game. So, like, I've restarted three times now because I put the game down for a couple of months. And when I came back, I could not remember all the things I needed to gather because I just had, like, I normally keep a notepad next to me and write down how much of each thing I need and how much of that stuff I need, like, to make other things. so that I don't have to keep going back to the place where I'm crafting and, like, looking at it and then going away again. Because it's not very easy. I feel like you need, like, a recipe book that you can just refer to. really quickly. I feel like that would make it a lot easier. Yeah, that's my main gripe with it, is just it's so hard to keep track of everything.
Uh-huh.
And then for once, the music was not really to my taste. It's good music. I like it, but it's really repetitive. Like it just plays the same track almost all the time, like unless certain things are happening in the game. So you're just walking around to like the same song over and over, and it's not like a really long loop either. So it gets quite grating. I'm quite sensitive to sound design things that annoy me, and that's one of them. But like it's a shame, because at least in Stardew Valley you have like seasons, so you have seasonal music. So you like, even if you have to listen to the same track quite a lot, it's at least different like every like however many in-game days, like 28 days, which are only like 12 minutes or something like that. Like, yeah, I can't do the maths, but you know what I mean. Whereas this game is just one track the whole time. And I wasn't much of a fan of like not so much the combat, but like one specific bit, which is the dungeons. So it has like a dungeon thing where it's I don't know how many levels there are. I think a lot less than Stardew Valley, but you have to go through and you have to kill every enemy in the dungeon before you can progress to the next level down, which is like, that's fine, but also I wasn't very good at fighting in the beginning. I wasn't very good at working out when to strike and when to move out of the way. But that was because I didn't know what happened if he died. I was worried of getting penalized for dying. But it turns out there's no repercussions for dying. You literally just wake up in your bed and you don't lose money, you don't lose your resources, you're literally just fine. So death does not mean a thing, which is like, in a way, a little disappointing, because, like, I don't know, I like feeling good at a game, but I don't even need to be good at this one, because you can just die and it doesn't matter. So some people use death as a fast travel to get home faster at the end of a day. They'll just go and let themselves die, which is just, I mean, well, that's one way to do it, I guess. And then I think that's not the only things I really, like, didn't like about it so far. I've enjoyed what I've learned about the world and this, like, main story so far. It seems good. I still haven't finished the game because I am taking my time cultivating the best zombie gardening system that I can, because I really like gardening. But yeah, I do like having the direction that is normally lacking in this kind of game, but also still having freedom to do whatever I want on the way to doing these quests. I like it very much. It's a good thing, and it makes it interesting. I like burying corpses.
What?
Yeah. You know?
What would you give Graveyard Keeper, a 10?
Oh, see, I'm like on the fence. I think I'd get, yeah, I'm also going to give an 8. I'm going to give it 8 DLCs with blatant pop culture reference titles out of 10. Because the two DLCs are called Breaking Dead and Stranger Sins. But the Stranger Things even has the Stranger Things title font.
Christ.
Which is just, they really got away with that, yeah. It's good stuff, good stuff.
I think that's like 4, is that 4 8? Yeah, right.
Probably.
I think I gave Funny Boy an 8. I think you gave Little Shop of Horrors an 8.
I did, yes.
So
an 8 is like my thing where like I enjoyed it, but it has like things that would make other people not enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to give it a 7, because 7 feels mean to me, and I don't know why. It shouldn't.
A 7's, like, pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's like, it didn't elevate.
Yeah. It's quite a difference in the review scores that were given by places. Like, it was like a 9 out of 10 on Steam, and then like a 6 out of 10 on Nintendo. So, But to be fair, a lot of the experiences I've had with Switch games that were not originally Switch games has not been great. And Nintendo does not give refunds, which I only found out after buying My Time at Portia and then realising I didn't like it. Because it felt weird to play on a Switch, and then saw that they don't give refunds, which is just a bit wank.
Like, I'd probably give Hustlers a 7 if there wasn't like the how it elicited and like emotion at the end.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very good at it. very good. That's what elevated it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there you have it, lads.
What has this become? You should write the podcast, you should share it, you should print it out and slap it on your face.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah. You should check out the Dwayne Twain show. You should check out the Twitter at What Is This Book One. Yeah. And you should check out Mac If I Die.
Yes.
Yes.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. But yeah. You should listen in next week for more What Has This Become. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.